Here's how we're going to start off. Number one, it says, "Vayidaber Moshe al Roshei HaMatos." Moshe spoke to the heads of the Shvatim, Livnei Yisrael, Lemor, Zeh HaDavar Shetiv Hashem. Here's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded. Ish ki dor neder la Hashem, or Yishav HaShvua Lassar Yisrael. Naturally, Yechel Debrok HaKol Yishmei Piviyata. Man who makes a neder or a shvua to ask for something on himself should not be over on his word. Whatever comes out of his mouth, he's got to go ahead and do. It's strange. This parsha does not start off as every other parsha starts off when there's a command and a mitzvah. Normally, we start off with Vayidaber Hashem HaMoshe Lemor. Daber al Bnei Yisrael, Yom Olam, etc. But it's not. Vayidaber Moshe al Rosh Yamatzu is how it starts off. And that's it. So why doesn't it start off with Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe like every other parsha does? Why doesn't it do that? So the answer, says the Me'ah Shiloh, deals with what Nidarim are. Nidarim are something special for every individual person. There cannot be a nether that goes on for everyone to keep together unless it's a, let's say, a communal issue. Meaning, you can make a neder for a fast day for an entire community, but that's because the community needs it, therefore the community has to accept it, and that's the idea behind it. But otherwise, nedarim are individual based. It's based on every person and what they want to do, not on everybody together. It's something that you yourself want to work on. See, all mitzvos are knowing all the time, and therefore it's by Daber Hashem Moshe Lemor, Daber Obnei Yisrael, and do this mitzvah. That's the obvious one. But by nedarim, you could go your whole life, and if you have no taiva, you're an abnormal person, but you can go your entire life and not do anything. You might have nothing to do with anything here, and that might be the reason why it's all going to be okay. Maybe that's the idea. It's a geder, a fence for you to stay behind, and it'll become mutter for you when you need it. That's the idea behind it, darn. And that's the idea behind it. This is what happens when I make it to 9:45, huh? That's the idea. I understand. But that's the idea behind it, and that's why nedarim are different from everything else. Number two.
So that answer is just saying that it's different and not why it's different?
Well, that does answer why it's different, meaning it's written differently because normally mitzvahs have to be told to all of Bnei Yisrael equally. Nedarim don't. They're said individually. So therefore, Hashem didn't command everyone to do it. Hashem said it to Moshe, and then Moshe told every person in Bnei Yisrael differently, and that's why we started off with Vayidaber Moshe al Rosh Yamatos, to tell it over to all the people individually what they want to do. Now, everybody knows Pirkei Avos by heart, right? So we know that the first mission of the second parak and the first mission of the third parak start exactly alike. We all know that, right? It's the exact same thing. It starts the exact same way. Different people. The exact same thing. I don't know that. Rebbe and Akiva ben Mahalal El. Right? What do they say? The what? No. That's the first parak. They both start off with the same idea of if a person wants to stay away from an avir. But they give different suggestions of what you're supposed to do. Let's get the exact word. There you go, from where you come and where you go.
Very deep.
Yeah, 100%. That is the idea behind it. He's Sako Bishlosha Devarim Beina Tobali Devera. Look at three things and you will not do in Avera. Dam Alamalaminko. Know what's above you. Ayin Roe. Ozen Shamas. Homa Sakhaba Sefer Neftalim. You have an eye, an ear, and all of your deeds are written down. Third parak starts off. Akavim Bahalelomer. He's Sako Bishlosha Devarim. There's no difference between the two. Look at three things you won't do in a pair. Dame and Basov, whence dost thou come? Where are you going? Who are you going to give din b'cheshbon in front of? Now, those are great suggestions before you get to the sin. Meaning, before you go to the beach, this is a great idea to think about. Right there. Before you go in, think about the following. Where are you coming from? Where are you going to? You're going to die. Don't send yourself to Gehenna. That's a great thing to think about. And that way you won't go. You go the other way. And you could say, think about these things. Everything you do, an eye sees you, an ear hears you, and a hand is writing it down in a sefer. Those are great things before you come to do a sin. That's the idea behind it. But what do you do when you're in the midst of a sin? What do you do then? What are you supposed to do at that point? That's what nedarim are for. Our whole parsha of nedarim is to get you while you're in the middle of the sin. While you're there, you say to yourself, I make another that it shouldn't look at anything inappropriate. If you do that, you're strengthening yourself right there at that time, which can help you not do anything wrong afterward. That's the idea. This is what David and Boaz did when they needed it. What did they need? David HaMelech, when he saw Bathsheba, immediately made a nether. I'm not going to sleep with an Ish. And that's why he ended up matzoring her for himself, because we see that Bathsheba wasn't really married. She was too young. She wasn't married to a guy. Okay, whatever it was. All the different answers that the David Melech did. Boaz, when Rus was in the bed with her, with him, Rus was right there. Boaz got up and made a nether. I will not be together with Rus. And if you do that right at that moment, you'll be able to stop yourself. Now you can understand two Gemaras. They're the same Gemara, but one's in Nedarim, one's in Nazir. The beginning of Nazir and Daf Gimel, and in Nedarim, I think in Daf Chesed, Daf Yod, I don't remember which one. But it says that Shimon HaTzadik only ate one korban of a Nazir his entire life. I mean, he never wanted to eat from it, because in order to bring a korban as a Nazir, that means you have to become Tameh. So Shimon HaTzadik didn't want to eat from someone because maybe he didn't take the Nazir seriously, and that's why he became Tameh. So he never wanted to eat from it. Except one time, a guy came to him, and he had beautiful locks of hair. So, of course, Shimon HaTzadik commented on it and said, those are beautiful locks of hair. So the guy said to him, the reason why I did this is because when I saw my image in the river and a lake when I was getting a drink, I saw how beautiful I was, and Pachazalov Yitri, Allah Yitri. My Yitzhar went crazy on me. It said, you can do anything you want. You're a tremendous looking guy. You can do anything. So I said, right there, I swear that I'm going to become a Nazir. That's how you use the jar. Because that's what exactly what Nedarim are for. When you're about to sin, when you're in the midst of something bad happening, right then you get up and you make a nether on it. That's the idea of how to stay away from sin. That's what you're supposed to do.
You did the sin and you broke a nether and you did the sin.
Yeah, don't sin then. That's the idea. Well, that's why he waited. Remember, she was metahir from her nida, but she went to the mikvah, meaning she was metahir from her nida, and he found out who she was. She found out she had a get because her husband had gone out to war, and that's when he was together with her. He did not go be together with her immediately when he saw her.
You're saying about against love you to him, cheeseburger. Like, oh, I'll make this cheeseburger. I promise, you know, I'll make a nether.
A nether, don't eat the cheeseburger. Then don't. The nether, hopefully, will be able to stop yourself. It's not going to work if you're just like, I make a nether not to eat the cheese. Oh. It's not going to work at all. Obviously, it's not going to work. You got to know how to make the nether. But yes, you should make a nether in order to stop yourself from doing it. Yeah, that's not a good idea. Yeah, that's not a good, but that's the idea, meaning stopping yourself from getting that far. And plus, if you take Nedarim seriously, then yeah, it's a serious thing. I don't even know how many people here really make Nedarim. But yeah, Nedarim are huge. You make a nether, that's that. I made a nether. Well, I don't want to say what I made. I made a nether about something that I have not broken since I came back from Israel. There are three things that I said I would not do while I'm back in America. Okay, three things. And I made that nether. I made those Nedarim, and I said, I'm not going to do it. And it's a real taiva. They're unbelievable taivas, because when you're out there in the middle of nowhere, you think to yourself, well, why can't I just go ahead and do that anyway? But it doesn't, you can't. You have a nether. If you treat the nether seriously, you won't be able to do it.
You come in the Amrit, you come in the Dharam also. There's a certain part of the other where you swear, you say, I need to spot three times
out
of hundreds of people.
Really?
Yeah. You're not supposed to, so they have a different word that, you know, the names you are supposed to say, you know, exactly.
Whether they actually say it or not.
Well, no, they do.
I affirm. It should be my.
Not already, because it's a different thing to say.
Do you know what the wording is?
I affirm,
I'm saying in Hebrew, it's make him. Make him as a nether still counts the same thing. I happen to be in Nedarim right now. So I would. It's the exact same thing. Hakim as a nether is the exact same thing. If you can find out the wording for me of what they say exactly.
When you have something that's like coming up in like a week, and you're like, hey, I'll be there, please never. Like, that's not even like a time. Please never. Just like, I'm about to eat a cheeseburger. I'm going to make a nether.
You should always say blee nether just in case, because you want to be careful of saying something, which if you say something twice, that could be considered a nether. If you say, yeah, like that, that could be a nether right there. So you got to be careful. So that's the reason why you say blee nether. That's when you should say it. Yeah, blee nether. Although it sounds a little strange. You're like, I swear to you, I blee nether. It takes away from everything you're saying. You didn't really just swear to me. I mean, that pretty much doesn't do anything.
With these two other things, also, even like,
even that you're supposed to say blee nether. You're right. I would, when I made a nether, I did not say blee nether. In theory, kol nidre takes care of all these things, but again, if you intend for it to be serious, then don't say blee nether on it. Then say it and mean it. Don't do it by the hand. Then don't eat that cheeseburger. that's the idea behind it.
Okay. Like today, cheeseburger, so it's like, today,
you got to treat Nadarim seriously. That's the only answer. You got to treat it seriously. Matos and Maaseh are usually together, even when other parshios are separate. Matos and Maaseh are almost always together, and it's strange. And I'll tell you why it's strange. Because Matos Maaseh is huge. There's 112 psukim in Matos. All together, I think there's 130 in Maaseh. How many is it all together? Give me a second. It is 132. You got 132 and 112 psukim all together. It's one of the biggest double parshios. Yet it's almost always together, even if Nitzav and Vayelech are separate. And you're sitting there like 50 psukim, come on! But that's a little bit more than that. But still, nonetheless, these guys are all together. Why is it? And the idea is the following. Again, if Nidarm is a way to fix a person up, right? And that's the idea. You got to know what you have to work on, right? You have to know what you're fixing. Either you're fixing Kas, or you're fixing Taiva, or you're doing something you got to work on, and that's the idea behind it. Like preparing yourself from going from Eretz Yisrael to America, knowing what you have to do. Making Nidarm properly give you strength to fight in certain situations and do certain things that's going to be good. And then you can go wherever you need to go and do whatever you need to do, and you'll be okay with it. You just got to strengthen yourself before you go there. Make those Nidarim before you get there. Thus, Matos is first to make the Nidarim, and only then Maaseh, which is the traveling that you have to do afterward. If you do that correctly, then before you get anywhere, you'll know what to do, you'll know how to act. It gives you the ability to turn your strength into a more powerful tool to fight your Yetzirah. That's the idea behind it and what you could possibly do. That is a little bit of a take, because Matos and Maaseh were not written by Gaonim or anything. Matos and Maaseh were really taken by Christians, so it's more of a Hasidish bent on the idea. But I guess you could say that Matos doesn't really mean a Dharm either. It's meaning the Parsha of Matos is connected with the Parsha of Maaseh to tell you the parsha of Nidarim is connected with travel. You don't travel unless you prepare yourself beforehand. Okay, that's that. Now, what goes on in Matos? Nidarim is only the first part of the parsha. Afterward, they're supposed to fight against Midian. And they do. And they do an awesome job. They destroy all of Midian and anybody that was up against them during the war against Midian, anybody that might have been there. And then afterward, the warriors come back, right, and they say what they did, etc. There's a lot of stuff that goes on. Moshe Rabbeinu gets angry because they left alive some of the women. He forgets the halacha, so to speak. Elazar has to tell them about Taras Kalim, what it means, Tumas Kalim and Taras Kalim, how to be Matar. Then the Chumash goes through a whole number system, which we're not going to go through this year, but exactly what they took, the spoils, and what they gave it to. Very strange. About 60 psukim, 70 psukim, all about just the spoils. That's all it is. That's all it is. Really, even Rashi gets into it. He says the word Begomer when he gets to the Parsha. It's very strange. But it's a really long idea, all the way up until we get to Reuben and Shimon and Gud, I should say Reuben and Gud and Chatzisheva and Menashe, that go inside onto the other side of Eretz Yisrael, that decide to take the land outside of Eretz Canaan. Now, the Medrash tells us that before this war was fought, Kadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe, there's a Medrash, that you're going to die as soon as the war is over. You finish the war and you're going to die. That's exactly what happened. They fought this war either in Teves or Shvat. Sometime during that time, Moshe Rabbeinu started his speech on Rosh Chodesh Shvat, and he died on Zayin Adar. So they fought the war, however many days it took, it might have taken only a day or two. They fought the war against Midian, and then afterward Moshe Rabbeinu died. Says the Medrash, once they knew that Moshe was going to die, they begged that Kadosh Baruch Hu to stay alive. And now the Midrash says of strange men. But a minute before this, before they knew Moshe was going to die, Od Ma'at Uskaluni. Give me a little bit more, and they're going to stone me, said Moshe Rabbeinu. That's the way Bnei Yisrael felt about Moshe Rabbeinu. Well, the simple pshat on the Medrash is that you don't know what you've lost until you actually lost it, right? Moshe Rabbeinu was so awesome that only when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said he's now going to die did the people say, oh my gosh, what are we going to do without him? That's the only time they realized it. That's the Pasha pshat behind it. But the Ksav Sofer asks, why would we need to know that end of the Parsha, or that end of the Medrash? Why would that need to be brought up over here? Who cares what they were saying beforehand? Now they don't think that way. Why do we need to know something bad about Moshe Rabbeinu? There were many Jews that argued with Moshe Rabbeinu over the years in the desert. We all know about the Meraglim. We know about Korah. We know about Dustin Vavirim. We know what they did with the Mun, leading over the Mun. We know what happened on Shabbos. We know about the complainers, the Misonanim, the people that Hiss Abu Taiva, the Satsufa Shibakirbam. We know there were a lot of people that complained. It wasn't just Dustin Vavirim. There were a lot of people that complained that had issues with Moshe Rabbeinu throughout the desert. They were all still a little bit doubtful. Maybe Moshe was in it for himself. maybe this whole thing was all about Moshe. But granted, Moshe didn't do what other prophets do. Other prophets claim themselves to be gods. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't do that. But Moshe Rabbeinu got a lot of honor from this. A crazy amount of kavod. For all they knew, he was still together with Tzipora. He claimed to have separated from Tzipora, but how do we know that's really true? I mean, even suspected him of being together with their wives. There was Nechshad al-Ishes Ish back in Parshas Korach. I mean, it's crazy stuff that they were complaining about Moshe Rabbeinu. So, in all seriousness, how do we know that Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't in it for himself? How do we know that wasn't true? The only time that they would know it is from right now. Because Moshe Rabbeinu is told, go fight against Midian, and then afterward you're going to die. Achar teyaseh sefer lanacha. Then afterward you'll die. Now, what would you do if you were told this? You wouldn't fight. You'd push it off. Because if I'm going to die right afterward, I'm not going to fight right now. God didn't give you a timeline. He didn't say go fight them tomorrow and you're going to die the next day after that. He told them go fight Midian and then afterward you're going to die. So when you're ready to die, go fight Midian. That would be the idea behind it. That's what you would think. What did Moshe Rabbeinu do? He immediately got up and told the people, let's go. We're fighting Midian right now. Now, according to the Medrash, it seems that Bnei Israel knew that Moshe's death was contingent upon the fighting against Midian. It seems they all knew that. So only then, when they saw that even though Moshe Rabbeinu was going to die, and he was still willing to lead them to battle, why? To take revenge. Nekom nikmas Bnei Israel meis Midianim. To take revenge for the Jews that had fallen. Not for any honor. For nothing. For death. This is what Moshe Rabbeinu was getting out of this. By fighting this war, you're going to die. And yet he still was willing to do it. Now, they saw that everything he had done throughout the Midbar was not for himself. It was for them the whole time. That's when they realized it. Only now did they realize this. Before this, a second ago, Od Ma'adu Skaluni, they wanted to stone Moshe Rabbeinu because they didn't believe that Moshe Rabbeinu was really doing it for the benefit of the people. Only now did they really see that this burning desire to help out Klal Yisrael was within him. Now they wanted to have this burning desire to keep him around. That's the idea behind it, and that's what ended up being over here. There's a famous Chofetz Chaim. Okay, I don't know if you guys have heard of this line from the Chofetz Chaim before, but it's brought up in the Zutz Parsha in the Sefer Chofetz Chaim al Torah. It doesn't really have a good connection here. I could connect it, because in the famous, you know, the good rabbi fashion, you have to connect everything to everything, and you can usually when it comes to Torah. You have that ability. You can just, you know, say like, oh, because this is, you can do it. Just, you got to hear this. You got to know this. If you want to connect it, you can connect it, but listen to this idea. Rav Shalom Shwadron said one time they were sitting in the sukkah with Rav Elyopian. Okay, Rav Elyopian was a famed mashkiach who couldn't see anything in front of him. Rav Elya served them cake and tea inside the sukkah. All right, guys, what brachas do you make? What's the brachas? I know what? Cake first, because mizonos, right? Mizonos before the shakal. So one of the guys, one of the bachim, got up and he made a bracha on the tea. Okay, made a bracha of shakal on the tea. And all of a sudden, everybody's in an uproar. Said, what are you making the bracha on the tea for? You should have made the bracha on the mizonos. The mizonos comes before shakal. What are you doing? What is that? Et cetera. Right? So the bachur got up, and he said that the Mishnah Berurah suggests that you should make a shakal first in order to make yourself get out of a suffix brachos. What's a suffix brachos? It could be that the tea is bottled to the cake. And if the tea is bottled to the cake, then if you make a mizonos on the cake, then you don't need to make a shakal at all on the tea. Because the mizonos takes care, just like cereal and milk. You make a mizonos on the cereal, you don't make a shakal on the milk. So too, when it comes to tea and cloth, tea and cake, you should make a bracha. The Mishnah Berurah says, make a shakal on the tea first, then make a mizonos on the cake, and that way you'll be able to say both brachos without a problem whatsoever. So he said, I'm just following the Mishnah Berurah. It's just mentioned by the Mishnah Berurah. I didn't have time this week to look up where in the Mishnah Berurah that is. I look for it, I just don't know exactly where it is right now. Okay, that's what he said. Started a huge fight. Everybody started going through. Like Rav Elya said, Rav Shalom Shwadron said, that everybody started fighting with, well, how does that make any sense? You should always make a mizonos first. Got into a huge fight between them. Rav Elyopian, as he always did, never, ever got involved in machlokism when it came to halacha. It wasn't that he didn't know. He probably knew shots and poskim bal peh, I would assume. Rav Elya never wanted to get involved in these types of fights. But this time, he sat there in the sukkah for a little bit, and he cleared his throat. Everybody understood he wanted to speak, so they all stopped. Rav Elya said, I remember that I was once in the sukkah with the Chofetz Chaim. Chofetz Chaim was the author of the Mishnah Berurah. Got that? Good. So I was with the Chofetz Chaim, and he served me. Take a guess.
Cake.
No, it was. No, you're right. It was cake. He served me cake and drink the cereal milk. And I remember I didn't make a bracha at all, and I just that would be it. And I sat there, and I was. He served me cake and tea, right? So it's cake and tea. So I said to him, what bracha should I make? I don't know if this was a dig on the Bachar, that the Bachar went and made a shahako on the tea without asking Rav Elia what to do in his own sukkah. I think that was a little bit, like, if I was Rav Elia, I would have been making that dig, because I asked my Rebbe and you did. I'm just saying. But Rav Elia will be on also isn't like me, so I don't know if he would dig the same way I would, but regardless. So either way, he said that I asked the Chofetz Chaim, what do you think? What should I do? Should I make a shahako or a mizonos first? He said, I have a suggestion. Said the Chofetz Chaim, take a little bit of mizonos and dip it in the tea in the beginning and make a mizonos only on the cake, and then at the end also take the last piece of cake and dip it in the tea, and that way you're eating the cake with the tea in the beginning and at the end, so the tea is clearly bustled to the cake, so you don't make a shako on the tea, you only make a mizonos on the cake. That's what he suggested to me. Then they got into a huge fight after that. Why didn't the Mishnah Berurah mention that in the Mishnah Berurah? If that was the suggestion of the Chofetz Chaim, why wouldn't he put it inside? It's funny, the Chofetz Chaim also says in the Mishnah Berurah, you should wear your tzitzis outside of your shirt. But the Chofetz Chaim never wore his tzitzis out. Never wore his tzitzis out. Now, I somehow think, I heard this from my Rebbe Ravel at base, who heard it from Rav Gustman, who heard it, who saw it by the Chofetz Chaim. I asked Rebbe Ravel why he didn't have his tzitzis out. He said, my Rebbe didn't. So I said, why didn't Rav Gustman do it? I knew he was a Talmud of a book of Rav Gustman. He said, Rav Gustman said the Mishnah Berurah didn't do it. So I said, the Mishnah Berurah says you should. He said, he didn't do it. So that's the way he said it to me. So I don't know. There are certain things that the Chofetz Chaim, the real idea behind why, you all know the Chofetz Chaim was very, very short. He's like 5'1". He might have been under 5 feet. It could be you wore a long coat and you just couldn't see the tzitzis underneath. It could be that's the reason why. I have absolutely no idea. But he suggested to, so that's the reason why I take it out, right? But that's what he told me. And that was the idea behind it. Talking about my Rebbe wears his tzitzis out, so it's all, you know, that literally out on top of his shirt. That I don't see yet. But either way, regardless, that's that. So he said, that's what my Rebbe did. So they got involved again. So this whole fight, why didn't the Mishnah Berurah mention it? Why didn't he mention the Mishnah Berurah? Why did that such a good suggestion? Why wouldn't you do it? Okay, Rav Elia was silent again. He didn't want to say anything. 5 or 10 years later, I don't know, Rav Elia saw one of those Bachar on Sukkot, and the Bachar reminded Rav Elia about what had happened years earlier. Rav Elia said, you should know that I had a dream, and I saw the Chofetz Chaim, and the Chofetz Chaim yelled at me and said, why are you quoting halachos in my name? And I have a feeling it's because of what I told you inside the Sukkah. You have to know that when it comes to certain halachos and what people do, I don't want to say it's all good. It's not all good, obviously. You can see Reform and Conservative Judaism going like, really? That's not, obviously, it's not all good. There are suggestions that doesn't necessarily mean that that's the way that everybody should do it. I think that's the connection of the parsha within Matos and Nedarim. I think that's the connection with this. But I don't know. I don't know exactly why it was put inside here. But that story has a tremendous amount of ideas of you can't expect everyone to be the same. Has anybody here ever eaten cake with tea? Dip their cake in their tea before? Has anybody here ever drunk tea before? Like once or twice? I've had like 6 times I think I've had tea. I think you can count on not one hand because that would be 5 fingers. Like 6 fingers that would be appropriate. But I can count probably on both my hands how many times I've had tea in my life. I definitely don't dip my cake in tea. In fact, I think that would be disgusting. It would make my cake disgusting and my tea. I'm not going to do that. If I would have cake and tea, I would think nothing and I would just do a mizonos before the shakel. Wouldn't think of it. At least you know now that the Mishnah Berurah holds you should make the shakel before the mizonos because he thinks that the tea is tuffel. But it could be that's only back then when tea was drunk with cake, and that's the idea. So you have to understand halacha, not just do halacha. Understand halacha, where it's coming from and what it's doing at that time. Okay, let's do one last thing, guys, and we'll end with this. In Parshas Maaseh, it lists 12 shvatim going through who's going to take over in Eretz Yisrael, who's going to give out the land. It mentions 12 shvatim. It says nasi yachad mimaseh tichu in kol zaaretz. Listen carefully and hear the differences. The Elish Shmos Anashim, here are the names of the men. Lamati Yehuda, Kalev ben Yefuna. We all know Kalev. Lamati b'nei Shimon, Shmuel ben Amihud. Lamate ben Yamin, Elidod ben Kispon. Some say this is Eldad, of Eldad and Medad fame. Elidod ben Kispon. Ulamate ben Edon, Nasi, Buki ben Yogli. Libne Yosef, Libne ben Menashe. Nasi, Chaniel ben Ephod. Ulamate ben Ephraim, Nasi, Kmo ben Shifton. Ulamate ben Zulun, Nasi, Elisaphon ben Parnach. Elisaphon ben Parnach might have been the father of Eldad and Medad. Ulamate ben Issachar, Nasi, Paltiel ben Azon. Ulamate ben Asher, Nasi, Achiud ben Shlomi. Ulamate ben Naphtali, Nasi, Pedal ben Amihud. Ela Shetiva Shemlanachos ben Esau Veretz Canaan. Anybody catch it?
Nasi.
You're missing Nasi by the first three. By Yehuda, Shimon, and Binyamin. Why are you missing Nasi by those first three? So there's a Sefer Igra Dekala. Igra Dekala was written by the Bnei Yisachar. It was written toward the Bnei Yisachar's end of his life. Okay, toward the end of his life, which means it was more Kabbalistic and it had a lot more Ramazim into it than any of the others. He says that the reason why by Yehuda is unbelievable. The Meraglim, when the spies went into Eretz Yisrael, each one of them brought a Gilgal of their Shevet together with them. Each one of them brought it in. Each one of them. Except for one. Who didn't bring one in? Yehoshua. Why didn't Yehoshua bring one in? Because Yosef went with Menashe. So Ephraim and Menashe were not included in this. So Ephraim's Shevet, Yehoshua, and how do I know this? Because it says by the Meraglim, Lamata b'nei Yosef, Lamata Menashe. I think it's Gamliel ben Petatzur over there. I don't remember exactly who Menashe is. He went with Yosef. But Ephraim, Hoshea ben Nun, didn't get anybody. That's why Moshe ben Nun davened and gave him a Yud. Who'd he give him? Levi. From Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe gave him Levi to go together with Yehoshua ben Nun. Okay? That's who we went with. And that's what it means by adding on the Yud. He added on the Neshama over to his body. That's mentioned by the Chidah. So I've seen that before. That's already that every one of the Shvatim of the Meraglim came together with one of the people who went into the Meraglim. We obviously know it didn't work very much. Except by two people. Who did it work by? Yehoshua ben Nun and... who's the other guy who made it through? Kaleb ben Yefuneh. Kaleb ben Yefuneh makes it back over here. Lamati Yehuda. Kaleb ben Yefuneh. Kaleb ben Yefuneh never lost the Neshama of Yehuda. The Neshama of Yehuda stayed with them as a Gilgal, together with them, until he died. Which means you can't call him a Nasi. That knocks down who Kaleb ben Yefuneh was. Kaleb ben Yefuneh is not just a Nasi. He's got a Neshama with him that is Kolel the entire Shevet. That includes the entire Shevet with him. So he's not just a Nasi. He is Yehuda. Lamati Yehuda, Kaleb ben Yefuneh. Because that Shevet went together with Kaleb ben Yefuneh. And he's together with him the entire time. By Shimon, most people say it doesn't say the word Nasi. Because Zimri, the last Nasi, sinned terribly. When Cosby and Zimri in the end of Parshas Balak, right? Beginning of Parshas Pinchas. So that's why Zimri is not there. But maybe Shimon came back to help his Shevet as well. After Shlumiel ben Tzuri Shadar, who was Zimri, died, after he was killed by Pinchas, Shimon came back to help his Shevet. So he was together with Shmuel ben Amihud. That's the idea. So Shimon was back together with him. So again, you can't say the word Nasi because that knocks down who he was. So you take out the word Nasi by Shevet Shimon. And what about Binyamin? Binyamin is the only person who was born in Eretz Yisrael of all the Shvatim. Everybody else was born by Lavan. Binyamin was born in Eretz Yisrael. He was connected to Eretz Yisrael. Since he was connected to Eretz Yisrael, he wanted to come in order to help his Shevet divide up the land. Lamate Binyamin. Elidod ben Kislam. No Nasi. Because again, anyone who had their neshama of their Shevet together with them, it doesn't say the word Nasi. Everybody else, they were on their own. But those first three had together with them their actual Shevet who came back to them in a Gilgal in order to help them out. That's the idea behind it, and that's why it doesn't say the word Nasi. But each one of them, that's what the Ibra Dekala says. So let's go through why Nedarim are special and what they're used for is how we started off. Putting together Parshas Matos and Parshas Maaseh was the second thing. Why they have to be together in order to travel, you need to do Nedarim. Why they want Moshe around only now? Because they now understood that he did everything L'Shem Shemayim. The Nasa Asavonah, we said, stating halakos is not easy for everyone to do. It's different by every individual. And Nasi is missing by those three Shvatim in order to tell you that those three Shvatim had somebody special that came along with them. Stop with that, guys. Have a great Shabbos.